Hello, everyone. Thank you for coming out to the show. We're going to be starting in a few minutes. You don't have to clap yet. You can, if you want. Yeah, okay, good, very good. One table. We're going to start in a few minutes, still waiting for people to fill in. If you want to get a beer or a nutty monkey, those are available. So go ahead and do that. Also, nachos. That smell you're smelling is rice, I believe. I'm not going to commit to that, but I think it's rice. I don't know what we're talking about. All right, guys, we're gonna start. Are we ready, Dan? All right.
Roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned four specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience.
That's you.
In a show called
Stab. Oh my God, welcome! Look at all these people! There are so many people! It's crazy. Yeah, thanks for clapping. Totally. I didn't even ask you to. Weird. Are you guys ready to meet your contestants for Stab? First, in chair number one, we have Cheryl, the soccer mom, Anderson. Welcome. In seat number two, riding bitch, we've got Steve Ferris. Steve Ferris. And last but not least, we have Jesse Jones. Jesse Jones. Jesse Jones. Jesse Jones. Jesse Jones. Welcome. Welcome to Stab, everyone. Thank you for being here. I forgot my iPad, so we won't have as many sound effects as usual, which could maybe be a good thing. So let's go ahead and meet our contestants right up in their face. Cheryl, the soccer mom, thank you for coming.
Is that how
you want to be referred to? The soccer mom? Or?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
You can call me anything.
Cheryl,
I don't care.
The soccer mom. You've been on a couple TV shows lately.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
What are you referring to?
Weren't you and your daughter on
Celebrity Name Game? Yeah.
And you won, right?
We did, $20,000.
Holy shit. That is...
We have not received the check yet, so don't ask to borrow money.
Well, you won't be getting paid tonight either, so that's good.
Story of my life.
Cheryl Anderson, I don't know if anyone knew this. Cheryl Anderson is half cousins with country artist Mary Chapin Carpenter as well, and she's a full cousin of country star Trisha Yearwood. I don't know if...
Oh, yeah.
Wow. That's not true.
No.
Well, thank you for being here.
Could have
here.
Said Lynn Anderson. People might have bought that.
Lane Anderson?
Lynn. She
Who's
is
that?
Way back. It's an old country. She died. Never mind.
Dead. You related a dead country artist. That's good. Well, thank you for being here, Cheryl.
Thank you.
Next, we have Steve Ferris, a crowd favorite, as you could tell. Steve Ferris, this is your fourth or fifth time on the show, I believe. I think so. You could talk into the microphone, Steve.
But, yeah, I think that's right. I think that's right.
Wonderful. I don't know if you know this about Steve Ferris, but he gets it. He gets it. Steve Ferris, thank you for being here. We appreciate you being here.
You're welcome.
And last but not least, Jesse Jones. He's on every show. Give him a hand.
Yay.
I think this may be the 40th show in a row that you've done.
Something.
Or something like that. We're gearing up in October for our 50th episode.
That's true.
Jesse Jones, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Jesse Jones, don't know if you knew this, is the reason for the season. I don't know if you...
Wow. You're welcome, everybody.
All right, guys. I think we're going to go ahead and get to the show. If I could find iTunes, let's play. Let's play Stab. Oh, we have... This first segment is called This Was Today Once. This category, basically, we tell you things that happened today, and we ask you how you celebrated them. Cheryl, you're going first. On this date, 1962, Marilyn Monroe, American model, actress, and singer, was put to death. This other thing happened too. Also on this date, 1914, in Cleveland, Ohio, the first electric traffic sign is installed. How did you celebrate the aforementioned events in tandem?
It was a big day. And luckily, yesterday was also President Obama's birthday.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, I went to the number one rated traffic light in Folsom. We do rank them.
Okay.
And I asked the landscaping crew there. They were, let me check, Steve, Tom, and Justin, just in case anybody thought this was going to get racist. They were just as white as could be. I asked them to blow their leaf blowers up my dress while I sang Happy Birthday, Mr. President.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Wow. Very good.
Yeah, it was fun. That's
well, thank you for celebrating in that way. Cheryl Anderson.
Just what I call Wednesday.
Very good. Steve Ferris. On this date, 1951, Samantha Sang, Australian singer, was born. Also on this very date, 1926, Harry Houdini performs his greatest feat, spending 91 minutes underwater in a sealed tank before escaping. What did you do today to honor these two?
Okay, well, before I start, I just want to say that I'm dedicating my performance tonight to fellow comedian Jimmy Gunn.
Jimmy Gunn, yeah.
Jimmy Gunn. Passed away. I don't know if anybody's ever seen him before, but I thought he was pretty great, so that's why I'm doing that. All right. So the first thing I did to celebrate these two milestones was I Googled Barry Gibb hipster. That was the search term. Since the Bee Gees wrote Emotion, one of Samantha's most popular songs, and also to see if anybody had already photoshopped Barry Gibb to have his hair short on the side with a long neck beard. They hadn't. Then I read up a bit on Houdini and found out that he also died later in 1926. To pay tribute, I decided that what I would do is try to sing Emotion over and over for 91 minutes in a tank. But I couldn't find a tank anywhere, so I just did it on my commute to and from work, which was only about 40 minutes, so I'm not done yet. And then I forgot to do that, so... You know, I wrote that I was going to do it, and I didn't do it. I tried.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you for trying. Steve Ferris. Jesse Jones.
Uh-huh.
Hey, man.
Hey.
On this date, 1957, American Bandstand, a show dedicated to the teenage baby boomers by playing songs and showing popular dances of the time, debuts on ABC Television Network. Wow.
Yeah.
Indeed. Here's something else. On this very date, 2002, Chick Hearn, American sportscaster, was made into a dead person. How about these things in regard to celebrating them?
Well, I don't know if everybody knows this, but Chick Hearn actually coined the phrases dribble drive, finger roll, and even air ball. He coined those terms. And many more, which are now staples in basketball vernacular today. While Dick Clark's American Bandstand introduced many residents of Middle America to the first black people they'd ever seen. And the many popular rhythmic dance moves that they would use to seduce their defenseless daughters. So it's no question that Dick and Chick helped influence and shape popular culture for decades. But for every catchy sports term or dance craze that these two men introduced to the public lexicon, there were many others that didn't quite catch on. So, in celebration of these two great men and all they did for popular culture, I did a little research to uncover some of the lesser known and thankfully unadopted phrases and crazes which didn't quite sweep the nation from 1957 to 1989.
Oh, Christ.
In the spring of 1958... Sock hopping teens everywhere. Sop hocking. Ugh. That sounds bad. In the spring of 1958, Sock-hopping teens everywhere were introduced to the extremely racist new dance known as the Jap Flap.
Oh, boy.
In it, dancers pulled the corners of their eyes back while holding their elbows out wide and flapping them up and down to the beat. Unsurprisingly, this dance quickly lost favor with kids, not because of its appalling racist roots. This was post-World War II America, and anti-Japanese sentiment was all the rage, but because it was too difficult to see while on the dance floor.
Of course.
So safety trumped a little lighthearted racist fun. During the New York Rangers 1965 season, rookie announcer Marv Albert began to refer to the illegal two-line pass as a dirty Jap trick.
This is very...
It's the times.
It's a practice.
These were the times. It's a term that he used right up until he left the team after the 94-95 season. And in 1988, an episode of Soul Train was abruptly pulled from the air in the middle of the introduction of the new dance.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
The jibbity-jib-jab, a flip-flap-jap. The only remaining evidence of this dance is a VHS recording made by a Philadelphia man who had incorrectly programmed his VCR that morning when trying to record the completely mental misadventures of Ed Grimley.
Very good. That was This Was Today Once. This is still Stab. Hey guys. This next category is called Reorganization, a fan favorite. Please take this existing acronym and reimagine it. What does it now stand for? Who or what does it now represent? Today's acronym is IQ. IQ. Cheryl the Soccer Mom, what does IQ stand for now?
IQ stands for the Izzard Quotient, okay, which is measured on a scale from 1 to 2 based on the subject's answer to the Eddie Izzard question, cake or death? Yes. Where 1 is the answer cake, 93% of Americans score a 1 on the IQ scale, revealing a surprising number of people that really hate cake. It's IQ.
Very good. Cheryl, Soccer Mom, thank you very much. Stephen Ferris, what does IQ mean to you?
Okay. To me, IQ means inquest. InQuest, from the team that brought you MapQuest. They needed a new project after Google took over for maps. Nobody uses MapQuest anymore, right? InQuest helps you find maps all over the world, including Spain. When the service first launched, it was only offered in English, but then eventually other languages were added. No one was expecting the Spanish inquest.
I just got that. I just got it.
All right.
Just now. In 3 minutes, I'll get it.
When the Spanish version was launched, Michael Palin of Monty Python fame was brought in to revisit his Spanish Inquisition character from the Flying Circus days. Nobody expects the Spanish inquest, he says. Our chief weapon is surprise. Surprise and low rates. Our two weapons are low rates and pleasant surprises. An industry-leading customer service. Our three weapons are low rates, pleasant surprises, and industry-leading customer service. And an almost fanatical devotion to our customers. Wait. Okay. Except it was in Spanish with subtitles, so I just read the subtitles. But then Expedia came out with a commercial that mimicked parts of Monty Python and the Holy Grail, so then people forgot all about InQuest, just like most people think the Holy Grail is the only thing that Monty Python ever did. Shit always pisses me off.
Very good, Steve. Thank you very much.
IQ.
Yes. You guys are a good audience. I like this. I like this clapping thing. It's so new to the show. This is awesome. Jesse Jones, bring us home. on this second category. IQ, what does it mean to you?
Well, today's active, extreme, go-getting young adults have really gotten interested in the old world ways of doing things, all in the name of sustainability and being better, less consuming citizens of the world. IQ is a term used to describe the activities of these groups of intense, tattooed millennial crafters and hobbyists who really get into their projects, but are just a little IQ for most of us, or intimidatingly quaint. You can often catch these IQers sitting outside of the locally sourced coffee co-ops. Gentlemen with mustaches waxed to a fine point, and ladies with colorful décolletage tattoos and short bobs framing oversized black-rimmed glasses. All shouting back and forth to one another, "Bro! You kerfed the shit out of that dovetail joint. That's fucking sick, bro. I know you want to see that 17th century heirloom rocking chair I refinished by hand, motherfucker. Yo, I backlooped the fuck out of some granny squares, motherfucker. This shawl is gonna blow your fucking mind." Or finally, "Check this shit out, bitch. I just whittled these two owl figurines out of one reclaimed antique poplar spittoon. And don't even act like I didn't."
Very good. That was reorganization.
It's intensely quaint.
We usually have way more sound effects. I just want to let you know. This next segment is called Topical Haiku Challenge. Please have written 3 haiku in regards to this next topical story regarding Cecil the Lion. We want 3 topical haiku, 1 at a time, in regards to Cecil the Lion. We're going to start with you.
All right. Sure, this one is called "You Got Bugs Bunnied." "Be very quiet. I am hunting a wabbit. It's lion season."
All right.
You need some deep, like, Looney Tunes knowledge, I think, sure. To really.
You have to go way
that.
Back.
Yeah.
When they made fun of Japanese people.
Sure.
Like that far back of Looney Tunes. All right. Steve Ferris, your haiku about Cecil the Lion.
And you wanted titles on these. So the first one is called "Stop." Okay, and the poem goes, "Cecil and desist." "He has ceased to exist." "Because of dentist."
Oh, very good, very good. Okay. Mind blown.
It's good. Very good.
Jesse Jones.
My first is titled "Mistaken Identity." "Maybe if Cecil just did what the cop told him." "Oops, wrong tragedy."
Very good. Let's hear the second of third. I'm not going to do that again. Number 2.
Okay, this is called "Minnesota Dentist." "Not enough pain here, so he goes to Africa to hunt for pussy."
Very good. Steve Ferris.
All right. The title of this one is "Suicide." "Well, fortunately, the suicide rate is high in his profession."
Jesse Jones.
The second is titled "The Right to Bear Lion Arms." "If Cecil was armed, he'd have stood a fighting chance. Second Amendment."
Very agenda heavy tonight. And bring us home with a third of 3 haiku.
I think I got too deep, I think. It was making me sad.
Did you?
When I was
sorry, yeah. This show does that.
Yeah, okay. This one's called "Wizard of Oz." "Cowardly dentist. What they got that he ain't got. Courage, Dorothy. See, I
almost cried.
Sad. I know.
Right
there. I was
actually
crying,
did. I kind of teared up like I got hit in the nose. Steve Ferris.
All right, I just got a little embarrassed when Cheryl read hers because mine's also Wizard of Oz based.
Whoa.
Yours is funny, though.
It's called Yellow Tooth Road. Tin Man got jealous while the lion got courage. He still got no heart.
Jesse Jones, bring it home.
My third is titled The Lion Sleeps Tonight. A weem away, a weem away, a weem away, a weem away, bang.
That was Topical Haiku Challenge. Very good. The strongest category thus far. Not that I'm keeping track.
The strongest category?
Cat.
See what you did there.
This next segment is called Vows to an Asshole. you need an explanation. Today we are gathered here to join you and an asshole. Let's hear your vows to that asshole, Cheryl, the asshole that you are marrying. You're marrying a parking meter enforcement officer. Steve Ferris, you are marrying Judas Iscariot. Jesse Jones, you are marrying that guy that cut you off earlier. We're going to start with Cheryl Anderson. You are marrying the parking meter enforcement officer.
All right. And my vows are, I, Cheryl, take you, asshole parking meter enforcement officer, to be my husband. And I promise that I will be faithful to you Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 6 a.m. and 8:30 to noon on Saturdays. Excluding Wednesdays from 9 to 11 a.m. for cleaning. I give you this ring, henceforth referred to as the booting device, which will immobilize you with all others from this day forward and keep you only to me until death parts us or until the event of boot removal, which will result in the assessment of a significant boot removal fee.
Very good. That was beautiful. I hate weddings.
I almost
cried again.
I know.
Bring in the tears. Right. that was weird. Sorry. Bring in the tears. That's what I yell before I spank my kids. Oh, bring in the tears, bitches. Then they cry. Steve Ferris. You are marrying good old Judas Iscariot.
All right. Hey, Judas, don't make it bad. Please don't make it bad. This marriage was arranged by our mutual friend John. I have no choice but to marry you. Together we are betrothed in marriage. Now kiss me on the lips, you sick bastard. That I may see both of thine eyes. Instead of just one, you know, because usually just see. All right.
Okay. Jesse Jones, you were marrying that guy that cut you off earlier. I don't know why I yelled. So I'm sorry.
I don't know. Okay. It's all right.
Yes.
I've got a couple yells in me.
Okay.
I knew the instant that I first rolled my eyes at your MUFDIVR vanity plate. That you were the complete asshole I wanted to spend the rest of my life hating. I still remember the first time we met. All I could think was, what the fuck are you doing? And that cute way you didn't notice me flipping you off because you were too busy texting with one hand and swatting at your unruly kids in the back seat with the other. Your freewheeling spirit and apparent lack of understanding of what does and doesn't constitute a lane sent shivers down my spine. And your ability to so succinctly express your feelings about rival sports teams via the simple... simple depiction of Calvin urinating on their logo told me that you were strong and opinionated, but still liked a good laugh. Today, you make me the happiest man on earth. Our love will conquer all obstacles set before us. There is no swerve too wide, no braking too hard or random, no blinker too completely unused to sever this bond. And it's with all of this and so much more in mind that I say here today, before God and all of our friends, Jesus fucking Christ, you worthless piece of shit! Amen.
Very good. That was one of our newest segments, a fan favorite, Vows to an Asshole. This brings us to the fifth and final category of the first show. Don't leave, motherfuckers. There's another show after. This next segment's called Movie Makeup. Movie Makeup. Here are some movie titles that I made up. Please give a synopsis based off the provided titles. Cheryl Anderson, the name of the movie that you're going to be getting is called Jerry and the Killer Curl.
Okay. Jerry and the Killer Curl,
yes,
was a Quentin Tarantino senior film from the 70s. It was a blaxploitation film which took an unflinching look at the urban surfing scene of the 70s. Didn't even know that existed, did you?
Wow.
It chronicled the beginning of the popular hairstyle, the Jerry Curl, which led to the untimely death of our hero, Jerry. Hairstyle was named for him. When it was discovered, when it was discovered that the activator caused shark feeding frenzies, the film was such a failure that it killed both the career of Quentin Sr. and the whole of the urban surf movement. Google him. You won't find anything.
Cheryl the Soccer Mom, thank you very much for being here. A very strong first showing.
Thank you.
We'll have you back. And we'll pay you next time, maybe. We'll see. All right. Ooh. Steve Ferris, the name of your movie is called, seems to be a theme tonight, Beat That Child.
Okay. All right, Beat That Child. Little Candace is a young child sports prodigy. She can run faster than Usain Bolt. She can dunk on LeBron James. Dribble, dribble. What does Alex Rodriguez do? Is he a batter or a pitcher? Or what?
He's a baseball player. Yeah. That is a batter.
I know he's a baseball batter. Okay, all right. We'll go with that. She swings better than A-Rod and always gets to home plate. Ew, zoom. Baseball. America. She drives faster than Jeff Gordon or Mario Andretti. Wow. Race car. She toured to France twice as fast as Lance Armstrong. Lance Armstrong. What a pedophile. I heard he likes to fuck little bicycles in the ass.
Whoa.
Sex. Okay, point is, no one. No one can beat Candace. No one can beat that child except, wait for it, her dad.
Oh.
Candace beats the sports heroes of the world, including Tiger Woods, and steals his Buick to get away from her dad. But he comes after her in his 83 Daihatsu van. Will Candace have earned the respect of all the people she beat in sports enough to get them to protect her against her dad? Or will they despise her and not give a fuck? That's why you need to watch the movie.
Steve Ferris. Very good. I kind of want to see that movie. I really do. Jesse Jones, please bring this entire show home with you. Then bring it back. The name of your movie is called You Don't Say.
Yeah.
Just like that.
You Don't Say. There hasn't been a film genre yet invented that Seth MacFarlane can't fail at making funny. Remember A Million Ways to Die in the West? Of course not. And apparently neither did Columbia Pictures, since for some reason they just dumped a truckload of money on Seth's lawn 15 minutes after he pitched them the idea of reinventing the silent film. You Don't Say stars the round, punchable face of Seth MacFarlane. As a deaf-mute radio DJ, who for no discernible reason finds love in the hottest sandwich shop worker ever to be inconceivably cast as such. By man-child, smiling boner, Seth MacFarlane. A 2-hour, 15-minute silent film filled with nothing but fart jokes, pantomimed racial slurs, and laughing at its audience for even being there? Sounds like a cruel joke, right? It probably was. But given how Adam Sandler keeps getting to make movies, it's not likely that anybody's going to start telling Seth MacFarlane no anytime soon. Entertainment Weekly says, I know I should probably be offended when Seth MacFarlane takes 10 minutes in an empty parking lot, arranging a box full of dildos to spell out, you wasted $12, asshole. Then points and silently laughs at the screen for another 5 minutes. But for some reason, I loved it. B+. While Rolling Stone magazine said, I never knew how much the world was missing a slow-motion 3D sequence of Seth MacFarlane staring directly at the audience while playing a silent flute, raising only his middle fingers, one after another, until this movie finally gave it to me. You Don't Say, rated R, coming to Redbox this fall.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is Stab, the first part of it. One more time for Cheryl the Soccer Mom, Steve Ferris, Jesse Jones. If you'd like to hear more Stabs, you can go to one of our many online outlets, the primary of which being stabforgold.com, stabforgold.com. Or follow us on Twitter at Stab Show, SoundCloud. We also have clips on YouTube where Steve does a wonderful poem about blood. And it's creepy. It's really good. All of our voiceover was done by John Alston IV, King John Alston IV. You could catch him somewhere. This edition of Stab was recorded and produced live at Luna's Cafe in Sacramento, California. One more time for Luna's Cafe here. And our recording engineer, Dan Herrera, and TBP Studios. All of our social media was handled by Love Handles. Wardrobes provided by Stampede of Bunnies. And lodging for all of the guests of Stab was provided by their parents, probably. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back for the second show. Thank you very much. About 5 minutes or so.